Welcome back, everyone, to They Didn't Tell You podcast. I am your host, Legally Black, and we are here for one of the final episodes. We are one of two final episodes for season two. And how fitting is it that it falls right around the time for Mother's Day? I had to scramble because I did not prepare for a Mother's Day episode. I had no idea what to do. And I thought to myself, who are some really dope women that I know who are out here, you know, being a prime example of motherhood for me? Women who I'm like, you know what, I could do that too. Like, you know, I could try to do that. And women who I know I can call on and reach out to when it comes time for me to be a mom. So without further ado, I would like for my guests, some you may have heard on the podcast before and some you may have not, but I would like you to introduce yourself, tell us about yourself, your family structure. And I'm gonna get started with my girl, Connie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Connie. I am an educator. I teach the children, and I have two babies.
All right. And then next up, we have Jahara.
Hi, I'm Jahara, AKA Lady J. I am currently doing a couple things, but I was laid off in January. So I decided to start my own boutique. And also, I'm an ambassador for Lavish Gems Waist Trainers. I have a son, and he is 11 years old.
Shout out to June.
June.
Next up, we have Cam.
Hi, everybody. My name is Camilla. I go by Cam or Cammy. I have two daughters, I should say, a 5-year-old and an 11-month-old. So it's fun here. I work in the customer service area for an outdoor specialty company. And if you hear sound effects in the background, that is the 11-month-old, just a heads up. But yes. that's me.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Please. She's a guest on the show as well. Okay.
Yes. Thanks.
So Aubrey, when you want to say something, all you gotta do is speak up, sis. Okay. The mic can be hot whenever mom says the mic is hot.
Yes.
And then Lori.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lori Bell or Lori. I'm also known as Flowers in this circle for a weird reason. I came into motherhood unconventionally. So I'm the legal guardian of my 9-year-old niece and my 7-year-old nephew, and I have been for the past 4 or 5 years. And professionally, I'm currently a program administrator for a GED program.
And these are my friends, y'all. Thank y'all so much for introducing yourselves and sharing a bit about your family structure with us. So I want to basically go over why I'm asking for this episode, obviously because it's Mother's Day. But the reason why I asked these women, other outside of the fact that I had a feeling they would all say yes, because I was being last minute and they love me and I appreciate them for doing it, but also because I know that they will come on here and provide us with a perspective on motherhood that I felt was missing in my podcast. I kicked off season two with the fathers for Father's Day. And I thought it was dope. And I said, you know what? I got to make sure when 2021 hit, I do one for mothers. And I almost missed it. So I wanted to bring on some women who I know will set the tone for all of you who have been listening, especially those of you who really felt very connected to March's episode that was all about you. I want to focus on you again with this one. So I wanted to define the word mother, because you can tell we have different variations of motherhood going on here. So the definition of mother is a term of address for a female parent or a woman having or regarded as having the status, function, or authority of a female parent. And another definition I really like of mother is something that gives rise to something else, an origin or source. And I feel like mothers, women are the source, but mothers, I really feel like you are the source of a lot of who your children are going to become when they become adults. You are the source that they are going to continuously tap into. You all know, because we tap into the source of our parents and our, you know, in every way that we can, and how important that relationship is. So I wanted to bring you all on, because I know you'll have amazing relationships with your children, to give us some honest insight into what's going on in your household and how y'all been parenting in this pandemic. And Cam, especially you with an 11-month-old, like, you gave birth in a pandemic. Am I correct? You're nodding your head. Yes. Yeah. So that girl. And I mean, I know that's a whole nother level of like anxiety that was applied to you too. So I definitely want to talk about those things. So getting into the episode, y'all, my first question, ladies, I know that you're all juggling a lot of things these days, and I'm sure many of them have been trying. Can you start off by just telling us how you are doing? Anyone could start with this.
I guess I'll jump in. I think I'm actually doing okay for the times. It's definitely been challenging, but I think my tribe helps make things a lot easier, the juggling of things. But I'm definitely ready for some normalcy, for sure.
I hear that.
I'll also say that parenting during COVID, I think for me, was crazy because I started off in COVID working. So I went to work and my son would be with my mother, which is, you know, big part of my tribe. And once I stopped, you know, having a traditional job because I was in the office every day, I started being home and I realized just how hard it was to be home with my son doing virtual school. Like, virtual school, not only in itself is a challenge a little bit, but also keeping them occupied and keeping them busy during this pandemic, since you can't do traditional things anymore, I think was a challenge that I arose to. And I think a lot of parents arose to. I think our creativity, like, it's on 100 because we've had to really come up with creative and different ways to keep these kids so they're not bored in the house. So it's been a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll definitely say, you know, okay, because the kids thankfully are happy and healthy. But it has been a very overwhelming time, you know, like, especially now going back and forth between virtual, you know, sometimes the school closes, then you're sending them back to school. So it's just constant adjustment, I feel, this past year. Like, you can't really get comfortable in any way. So it has been overwhelming and exhausting, for sure.
Damn. No, I'm just saying, I'm listening to all y'all, I'm like, damn. Go ahead, Kim.
You asked how we're doing. Was that the question? How we're handling the pandemic?
Just how you're doing in general right now. Yeah, right now, yeah.
So, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I walk around with a smile on my face, but it's been a rough year and some change. Tiffany, you know, I lost my dad suddenly during the pandemic, not from the pandemic. And so I lost my dad a week before my birthday. My birthday is on Monday, so exactly a week before my birthday. And then my daughter was born exactly a month later. So it's been a rough time. I was like a daddy's girl, a really big daddy's girl. Me and my dad were like this. So that got that between that and the pandemic. And then I got furloughed in April, lost my dad in May, went back to work in May for 2 weeks and went out for work into October. It's just been a rough year, but I mean, I'm doing better. I'm working on it. And then to have a new baby and then a 5-year-old during all this time, like, if it wasn't for my support system and my tribe, I can guarantee I would not be here. They can guarantee it. Tiffany, you know, you're definitely part of that tribe, but if it wasn't for the people I have close to me, yeah, this wouldn't have worked at all. It's been a rough year, but I'm getting through it.
I'm sorry about your father.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I am very sorry. Cam, you know I love you. I love all my condolences.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, why I feel like I'm about to cry? What's wrong with me?
I am so sorry. I did not mean to bring it down.
I did not mean to bring it down. You just got me in my bag. I just said, you know, I really... You know, all of you talking about tribes, and it's just you're right, it's really important. And where would you be without it? Where would anybody be? Where would our mothers have been without their tribes? Like, where would we be without it? So, okay, let's go to the next question. So how has parenting changed for you since we've been in this pandemic? I know, Cam, you started talking a bit about it, but can anyone else speak to, and even Jahari, you talked about having to be like 100 times more creative than you've ever been. What else has changed for you and what does that look like?
I think the constant fear, I won't say that I'm relieved that I lost my job, but in a way I am, because I was so paranoid going to work every day. And I work with inmates. So I was really paranoid that I was going to come home with COVID or pass it on. Like, it's really been an eye opener. And I think it's really put a lot of things into perspective, like parenting during COVID. Like, it really has. So I think that's one thing, is just that paranoia of, you know, being next to somebody who has COVID, somebody touching you by accident that has COVID, and passing on to your kids or making your kids sick. And at first, and it was so many conflicting stories in the beginning. They were saying kids can't get it and kids aren't susceptible to it. And then they were saying this kid, you know, it was fatal. So I think that was a big thing for me. It's just like every day paying attention to the news, trying to draw my own conclusions from it. You know, that was a big part of, you know, my parental paranoia during COVID.
Oh, girl. Parental paranoia. I got to write that down. Go ahead. Laura, you want to say something?
Yeah. I think for me, like, I'm a big alone time person. So COVID has definitely changed. Like, I need a fucking bigger place because, you know, I'm in an apartment and having to be home all day, you know, virtual learning, working from home, trying to juggle both those things, you know, in a confined space, and then not really being able to go out and do the things you usually do, or just kind of have the time to be alone, you know, for a few seconds of the day, just really changed my mind about, you know, how I want to live, where I want to live. But definitely, like Jahari was saying, like, trying to find ways to keep the kids entertained and still being okay with, like, going outside to play, but trying to keep our distance. The same thing, the paranoia, like, should they be playing with other kids even if they have their mask on, you know, all these things. So it's definitely getting used to the lack of alone time and the lack of space in more ways than one.
I definitely agree with that, because I too am someone who enjoys my alone time, and being home literally all day, there was just nothing to break up the day, and that was driving me insane. It's like you wake up and you just go right into mommy and then school for them and then me for teaching, and then school is over, then you go straight into cooking and cleaning and bath time and all that stuff. It was just an endless, like, loop, and not having that break in between, or not having really time to just breathe or sit by yourself, because like y'all said, you have to entertain these kids, or you try not to kill them at the same time, and you know, so it was just an endless cycle. It was really tough at one point.
Hard to feel the love, right? Like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. And I've sat in my car since COVID started, and literally just so I could get a couple of minutes to myself. I would say, oh, I'm going to get something out of my car. I'll just sit there. I would really just sit there. Like, literally, I'm going to get ice cream and sat there and ate the ice cream in front of the ice cream shop just to get 10 minutes to myself without anybody asking me for anything or my ice cream. I know that sounds really selfish, but when you're with kids all day, every day, and you're not used to it, before, when you took a day off, you'd be home by yourself. Your kid would go to school, and you would have a mental health day, they call it, a mental health day to yourself. You don't have that now. Literally, your kid is always with you, always here. So, yeah, definitely that alone time, I think a lot of us took for granted before COVID.
So my situation is a little bit different from the rest of you ladies. So I had the opportunity to go back to work, and I did. So I was home for 5 months, and I was like, okay, so when it's time for me to go back to work in October, I'd already talked to my manager. I said, okay, we're going to set me up to work from home. I went in one day and said, okay, I'm not going back home. Not if I don't have to. It's just, I was like, I needed a break. And so, I mean, I work 7 minutes from where I live. So I had no problem. I was like, even being there, I felt safe because the way my building is set up, we are not on top of each other anyway. So it's just like me and a few of my coworkers and my managers, like five of us in the entire section of this building. So I felt safe going there, knowing that we'd be able to maintain our social distancing and not being any issue. So I've been back since October. Every so often I work from home just because I want to still be home with the girls every once in a while. But like I said, I have a good tribe. So my girls aren't home anyway. The youngest and my five-year-old. My five-year-old was actually supposed to start school in the middle of the pandemic, and then we didn't feel comfortable with it. So she's been virtually learning, but with one of my friends who's a teacher, she just lets her virtually learn with them. Like, she's in the class even though she's not. So she's still learning, but they're not home most of the time anyway. My grandmother actually keeps them by choice. I don't know why she does it. She's 84 and thinks she's 44. So she was like, well, my oldest daughter is Ava. She's like, well, she wasn't in daycare. So why does the baby need to be in daycare? And I was like, because you're in your 80s and you shouldn't be keeping kids anymore. She was like, well, you can't tell me what to do.
I'm just going to take your mic. No, I want to take your mic right now. I want to snatch your mic. I'm about to just cut the mic. Just go ahead.
No, let her speak.
I mean, honest.
Let her be like that. They be like, now you talk about they can still hold them and everything. Exactly. You're like, no.
Well, you can't tell me what to do. So I'm like, listen, let's see how it goes. I will do a trial run. And now my oldest, who was five, she's already loved my grandma. But now the baby thinks that that's her mom. And I'm like, hey, I'm here too. But, you know, whatever. I want them to have as much time with her as possible. Because like I said, she is 84. But if you met my grandma, you wouldn't think she was 84. So everybody's always like, we call her Doe. Everyone's like, well, Doe this and Doe that. I'm like, yeah, isn't that your mom? I'm like, no, that's actually my grandma. But she thinks she's my mom because, you know, she moves and acts and shakes like she is, basically. But I mean, parenting hasn't been that bad. Like I said, if it wasn't for my tribe, this year could have been a lot worse, or last year could have been a lot worse. But parenting hasn't been that bad, honestly, besides her doing what she wants, as you can see in here.
Well, damn. Okay. So what would you say, what changes have you made this year? Like, something that you could say is a significant change as a result of everything that's been going on. Maybe something personal you feel like,
Does it have to be related to parenting?
It could be whatever. No.
Mm-mm. Okay. I've become a better girlfriend. Yes. Wayne's been working from home just like the rest of you ladies. And I am so sorry for y'all. He wakes up and we work opposite shifts on purpose because of the girls, so he keeps them during the week as well. But I don't think I ever really understood like what it took to like work and then be home, and then he works the overnight shift. So he literally wakes up, gets on the computer, works 10 hours, then gets up deals with the kids or deals with our dog, or and then like goes back upstairs and then goes to sleep. But it was like a recurring thing. So I'm getting to go to work every day and he's getting to go upstairs. And I'm like, well, you know, you have days off. He was like, but where do I go in a pandemic? He goes, nowhere. I was like, oh, well, I go to work every day, so I can't relate. So I've been paying more attention to that. I've been more cognizant of, paying attention to his feelings and understanding, hey, this is what you're going through. Because It was a moment. We ended up getting the dog because he started getting depressed. Like, he started going through like a moment of depression, which I didn't understand because I was leaving the house. But when the pandemic first hit, we didn't go anywhere because we weren't comfortable with leaving the house, knowing how far along I was in my pregnancy, not knowing exactly what this pandemic was going to be, whatever the situation was. So he's literally been, he started a new job in the middle of the pandemic. He's been to his office three times since last March. So I've become a better girlfriend, I'd say, because now I actually pay attention. Not saying I didn't pay attention before. I know it's coming off as me being, I guess, a little selfish, but I don't think I wasn't selfish. I think I paid more attention to the kids more than I did him. And then being in this situation, I was like, oh, you really do deal with a lot more than I thought you actually did. So maybe I need to reel myself back in some and pay attention more. So I think that's the one good thing. Not one good thing, but that's one of the main things I can say I've changed during all this time. So yeah, I'm talking a lot.
Yeah, no, you really have grown.
Don't do that.
We back in the college days, we was ratcheting in the 40s and whatever. Like, sis, look at you flourishing out here. This is so dope.
Dang, you just putting it out there.
I'm trying. I know. You see that?
The pictures on the Facebook timeline and way back when don't lie. We was out here.
They can be deleted. Nobody's going back that far.
Actually, all of us was out here, so let's not pretend. Huh? All right, sorry. Who else?
I wasn't out here. I was in church.
You know what? Mute yourself. And she did. Who else? Who? Anybody else? Anything? What changed for you? Anyone else?
I don't really have an answer to this one, to be honest. And I don't know if that's a reflection of me. Like, damn, you wasn't doing shit this quarantine. But I really don't have an answer to this question.
No, that's okay. It's okay. I think Connie said me either. It's okay.
Yeah, definitely same. I just been going through the motions, trying to get through.
Yep. And I'm glad y'all here to talk about how y'all got through and how y'all still getting through. Well, if you didn't discuss, if nothing changed for you, is there anything that you discovered? Like, what's something that you brand new about your child that you learned during this pandemic that you've been like, wow, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you liked that.
I think for me, definitely getting to see what their teachers see. You know, because if you're not in school with your kids, you don't really know what they're like. Like, you can tell because you know their personality. So you are like, I know my nephew is a bit of a disruptive child. Like, he enjoys distractions. He likes to be silly. I know that about him. My niece, like, she takes on responsibility. But seeing them at home, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. You know, just like seeing what their teachers see and just having to be more hands-on with one as opposed to the other, just to, you know, get them to finish one task. So I think that was the biggest for me, like getting to see what they're actually like in a school environment.
I'm glad this wasn't around my time. I was bad in school. Anyone else, what did you discover new about your babies?
So I didn't realize my daughter is as smart as she is. Sounds weird, or it could sound a little off, but you know, when you're with your child every day and just going through the motions, you don't really pay it any mind. But when I was home during the 5 months during the beginning of the pandemic, just having conversations with her more, just being around her more, just going over different things with her for school and different like words and things like that, and she knew way more than I thought she did. So I'm like, well, did I teach her this? Did she just pick up on this? Did she learn this with her dad, with one of her grandmoms? I don't know. I'm like, is she just watching more TV, but like educational TV? Like, she's just way smarter than I thought she was. I mean, she's 5. I'm not going to say she's a genius, because everyone thinks their kid's smarter than everybody else's kid. But she's definitely, I want to say smarter and cooler. My kid's a cool kid. Yeah.
I didn't
necessarily realize it, because you're always going through the motions and you think everything is normal, everything is this and everything is that, until you're actually with, like, until I'm like actually with her, and just me and her sitting together going over things, and I'm like, wait, you know this already? She's like, yeah, mom, I've known this for a long time. Oh, okay, I'm gonna close my book and I'm gonna sit down. So yeah, that's one of the things that I've learned about little Miss Ava.
I love that. Anyone else?
I think my baby, he's not really a baby, he's 11. But one thing I think I've learned about him is, and I admire, is like she said, like, I listen in on his conversations on virtual learning. I'm like a stalker. I listen to everything because I'm like, oh my God, if there's like a problem or issue, like, I'm gonna run in there. But I've had to learn not to do that, because a lot of times he can situate his own problems. And I'm really, really impressed by certain words that he says. Like, when the teacher asks him questions and he uses certain words, I'm like, oh my God, like, my baby's vocabulary. Like, he, you know, that's something like I didn't even think about, because like she said, you talk to your kids every day, you see them every day, you interact with them, but like when you're in school, they put their best foot forward, and like they really make you, like my son makes me proud. And even I was talking to the teacher, she was like, your son is so smart. She said in the beginning of the year, like he was a little shy, so we couldn't really gauge his personality. And my son started middle school this year, so he's technically in a new school, even though it's virtual. But like, I've been so amazed. Like, I love hearing the big words. And like, when lunchtime comes, like, I'll write the words down. And I'm like, I'm so excited you knew this word. And he's like, come on, Ma, like, get your life together. But like, I don't, like, it's things I would never see or never hear if I was at work and he was at school. So I'm amazed every day. I kind of like that, and I'm selfish in that way, where I kind of like the fact that I know what he's learning, and I know, you know, what words he's saying and what he's capable of. Like, that makes me so excited and so proud.
I'm loving this. It's like my heart just sing.
Mine isn't that sweet, because my kid, she goes to school to be social. That is her thing. That's why she goes to school. That's what school is about for her. And I've definitely noticed how much she misses that. Like, she wants to be around other kids so bad. She wants to interact with her teachers. Like, that's where she flourishes as far as school. So it's been tough for her not being able to see other kids and interact with them and stuff like that. Because any chance she gets when she's in class, she takes it. Like, if the teacher's not around and her little friends on the Zoom, like, she's wanting to talk to them and they talking about their shows and all that stuff. So my kid goes to school to be social. And that's what I've noticed. And she really misses that.
She's a woman after my own heart. That's the only reason I went to Willie P, to be social. And look at that. It worked out. It worked out. I know that some of you didn't have anything that, like, particular changes that you feel like you made this year, but is there anything new that you discovered about yourself? You talked about what you see in your children, but what about in you?
I think we are, like, all already hit on this a little bit, but not that it's new about myself, but I think I realized how much being alone and like having those moments, just like being an individual, like not being a mother in moments, like, you know, just being an adult woman doing what I have to do really matters to me. I used to work in New York before this pandemic, and I just miss, like, you know, being able to go on a little lunch date, you know, walk around on my break, things like that that you take for granted, that in the moment, because you don't like your job or whatever, you're just like, oh, whatever, I'm gonna just take a walk. But I think I've just realized how much I actually need that to balance out everything else in my life.
Yes, girl.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Same. Alone time is so, so valuable. And I feel like I need it to recharge. Like, that alone time is a recharge time, just to decompress. Like, I don't know, something just about being alone that I realized I really, really need. Like, I knew I needed it before, but after not getting it for so long with that constant, like, loop of just the daily tasks, like, it's very, very important.
I hope y'all listening, especially the mothers. This is for you. Go ahead, Jay.
I feel like I've gotten a lot stronger. I think that I discovered that I was stronger than I thought I was, because, not gonna lie, I was working at my job almost a decade, and I really thought that in the prison system, I'm like, there's two things in life that will always be sick people. So if you're a nurse or a doctor, you're good. And there'll always be prisoners, you know, not like that. But, you know, there'll always be people that get locked up and go to jail and need, you know, counseling, mental health, reentry, all of that. And I think it was really like a shell shocker when they were like, we're downgrading this, we're sending all these people home. And then I found myself like with no job. Like, I literally almost had a breakdown. You know what I mean? But a lot of people around me was like, what are you doing? Like, this is a great opportunity to establish yourself. And, you know, things that you're doing on the side, kind of make that your priority. And things like the pandemic really you know, push you to your greatest self. Because if you don't have a job and you're not doing anything all day, you're like, I'm not going to just sit home and just like look at the wall. So I didn't know I was that strong. And once I did one thing, I'm like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. And, you know, I'm like, I never thought that that would be me. I thought that was for other people. But now I'm like, dang, like I'm literally better now than I was working. You know, I probably go back to a regular job sooner or later, but I mean, I'm not in a rush. I'm simply not in a rush. So stronger than I've ever known I could be. That's one thing. I'm so grateful that this pandemic put me in a position where I had to push myself to, you know, show myself just how strong I am. So that's what I've learned about myself is strength, how strong I actually am.
Mm. Thanks, sis. Cam, you want to say anything? Oh, sis, you muted.
So I'm pressing the unmute button, thinking it's working, and then I start talking, and then you say something. So thank you, Tiffany. Thank you for calling me out. I appreciate you.
I got you, sis. So-
let's see, one thing, I mean, I'm trying to think, what did I want to say one, is it one thing that you noticed about yourself? I'm sorry, what was the original question? I want to make sure.
No, just I'm one thing. Correctly. It's okay. No, what's something new that you discovered about yourself?
There we go. So, I already knew this, but not to toot my own horn, but I'm a bomb ass mom. Okay. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yes.
Listen, I going through this past year, no matter everything that's going on, my kids have wanted for nothing. My kids didn't know that anything was going on. They didn't, my daughter doesn't really know that we're in a pandemic, because even though we weren't able to do things outside, we still made sure we incorporated fun things in the house. So even with this one, I didn't realize like just being a bomb mom, being a good mom, being a strong mom. This baby came so fast. I went to the hospital and I was already 9 centimeters dilated. Had no clue. Just living my best life. They're like, hey, you're 9 centimeters. I said, excuse me. They said, yeah, it's about time to push. I said, but we just got here. How does that work? So, I mean, overall, that's the one thing that I'd say. I learned about myself, but I already knew, but I just want to, you know, reemphasize that I am a bomb ass mom in case people are listening need to know. Yes.
I'm here for it. Yes. That's a mantra.
Yes, sis.
So for the next question, can you share a bit about what your relationship was like with your mother when you were growing up and maybe how it changed as you got older?
Oh, I got a story to tell. I'm not gonna put it all out there. But what I'll say is, our relationship was strained a little bit. She worked a lot, and she had her own things going on. But what I will say is that as I got older and when I had a kid, stepped up. Like, that is my rolie, that is like my best friend. And that's something that just had to happen with us talking and, you know, really putting things out there and kind of starting a new relationship. But I will say that anything that I felt before or any animosities or whatever was all deaded when my child came. And my mom showed up and showed out, honey. And she still does to this day. So my son is a blessing in more than one way.
I guess I'll go next. I no longer have my mom, may she rest in peace, but growing up, she was the mom that did it all. She was at every game, she met every teacher, you know, she cooked every night, like she did everything. And we were just always with her. When I say we, I mean me and my sister, Amy. Like everything, you know, every errand. It's like, it was always us three, or, you know, her with her kids. You know, my brother got older and he kind of went along his way like boys do. But we were always together. So she was always a best friend, even before we knew what best friends were. You know, we kind of just were always a unit.
I love that. Best friends before you even knew what best friends were. I wish with me and my mom, I was reluctant and I was really, really defiant. But this isn't about me. What about
Amen.
You?
Amen. Say it again.
All right, Jahara, you ain't got to tell the past. Jahara knows me from a past life. Hey, she knows me from a past life. Anyone else?
I'll go next. My relationship with my mom is pretty good. We've had our ups and downs like any mother-daughter relationship, but we've fallen out. I've called her and say, hey, this is what's going on with me. It was a point where I remember one time I moved to Virginia, didn't tell her, left her a Dear John note, hopped in my car with my then boyfriend, and it was like, let's go. And then at the time, this was after Willoughby, I went to Norfolk State University, and I got accepted and didn't tell my mom I applied, called her, and she called me and was like, hey, your acceptance letter for Norfolk State is here. Do you want to go? If so, let me know and we'll make it happen. Mind you, we weren't speaking at this point. So I was like, oh man, you are my rider, man. Okay, so I was like, this is what I wanted. This is the kind of mom I want to be. We have our ups and our downs because we are similar. So, but overall, she's my homie. She gets mad at me if I don't call her often. She's always like, you know, if I don't call you, you don't call me. I'm like, mom, I got a lot going on. I got a whole family of my own now. I know, but you know, I don't see you anymore because I live in a different state. Okay, mom, okay. But I mean, we've always had a pretty decent relationship, even when we had our fights that were usually about nothing that I turned into something because I'm annoying sometimes. But good relationship, and she's a great grandmom to my daughters. Like I say no, and she says, why not? Well, then I'll get it for them. They should have everything in the world. Okay, never mind. Let them have it then. But yeah, I'm fortunate. Sorry, she's trying to jump off the couch. I'm fortunate to have a good relationship with her. And since my dad passed, we've just gotten even closer because she wants to make sure that she knows that even though he's not here anymore, we still have her. So even she's even more present than she was, and she was already present, if that makes sense. But yeah,
it does.
No complaints in that department with my mom. She's pretty cool. Don't tell her I said that. I hope she doesn't hear this because I don't want her to know.
I'll make sure I share the exact clip I use for you will be this clip right here so that she can hear it. And I know one of your roles will definitely share. Christina, one of y'all, thank you.
Yes.
Tiff, one of y'all, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'll hop in. My experience with my mom isn't how I guess how most people expect mother-daughter relationships to go. Me and my mom have kind of a strained relationship. And it's definitely been, interesting, I guess. It hasn't really changed much as I've become a mom. It's still quite a bit strained relationship. My person is more so my dad. My dad is where I get a lot of my parenting style from, very much like my dad. But yeah, we don't have the best relationship. So, and she also lives in a different state. So there's that as well. But yeah, it's unfortunate, but you know, it's one of those things.
And so I guess that kind of can lead me to another question of, knowing that some don't have this, you know, didn't always have the strongest relationship or don't have the strong relationship or have a great one, how did that change once you took on a mothering role or the mother role or became a mom? Did that change? I know for Cam, she talked about how that changed for her, but did it change for any of you?
No, it didn't change for me. It's still been pretty strange. Like, I don't know, because I don't want to sound like I'm bashing my mom, but also like she's just not very present. And even in my daughter's life, she's not very present. She knows who she is, obviously, but there's distance there, like figuratively, but there's also distance literally because she lives in a different state. So it hasn't changed much as I became a mom. I was literally just kind of winging it, trying to figure it out on my own. And it's not to say that I didn't have other like mother figures, because I did, like, my mother-in-law, she was a mother figure, but she's gone on to be with the Lord. And then I have a stepmom as well, and she recently passed as well. So I'm finding that now in this stage, like now that the other mother figures that I had were kind of filling that void of the relationship that I don't have with my mom. But now that they've gone on, there's this, it's, the void is still there, you know? So it's like trying to figure out what's going to come of that relationship. But anyways, I say all that to say, no, the relationship hasn't really changed since I became a mom. But again, my dad is my person. So he's more so the one who steps up, or the one I go to for parenting advice and things like that. So, yeah.
And I love your dad. Your dad is so smooth and so cool. Just the smoothest. Cool. Just smoothest. Anyone else?
I would say, I mean, I didn't get the opportunity. My sister barely got the opportunity. She had her first son, and my mom was there for that up until he was about, I want to say, 18 months, and then she passed. And I assumed legal guardianship of my niece and nephew because she passed, because she had legal guardianship of them. We were raising them together in the place where I live now. So I didn't really get a chance, but I'm trying not to cry, y'all. So let me reel it in.
We're here with you, Lori.
Yeah, no, we are, sis. Love you.
Yes.
I guess I would say, like, I think back on things that happened in my childhood, like, her struggling, or like I could tell, you know, moments where she was exhausted, and you know, I'm going through those things now. I'm like, fuck, like I know what she was feeling, you know what I mean? Like, you can't really understand it even though you see it happening. Excuse me.
It's okay, sis.
I'm trying to keep it down. Yeah, like, you don't understand it when you see it happening, but now I just know we could relate to her so much more, you know, like she must have hated us sometimes, and now I get it. Now I'm like, I can fucking see it, you know, when you're a child, you're just like, you just, you know, that angst and stuff, or when you're a teenager, or, you know, I can remember being young and her saying things like, oh, I wish I could disappear, you know, and sometimes I say those same things, like, I wish I could just take a road trip, be gone for a week or so, and come back and, you know, try it again. So, I think if she were here, it would just be a better relationship because I could relate to her more. I could understand more of where she was coming from when she was raising us.
Thanks, sis, for sharing. And Lori, you don't got to hold nothing back. Nobody has to hold nothing back. If we want to cry, it's fine. This space is for y'all.
And I'm sure your mom is looking down on you and, like, mm-hmm. really proud of all the super things proud. That you have accomplished. Mm-hmm. And she's your angel. Like, sometimes people are here, you know, in the physical, and yes, we appreciate them, but they go on to be our angels, and they're the reason why we're so successful, or why we're able to push through or be so strong sometimes, because we have them on our shoulder watching over us and, mm-hmm. you know, ensuring that, you know, we have the best life, even though they're not here in the physical anymore.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. So can you talk, and sorry if you listen, I knew when I wrote some of these questions that things would get deep, and that's what, you know, and I hope you ladies are, you know, this is all challenged by choice. You don't have to answer anything, but I appreciate that you do, because I know somebody out there is going to hear Lori's words, and it's going to hit home. It's going to hear Connie's words, and it's going to hit home. Jay and Cam, like, they're going to hear you and be like, that's me right there. And I want them to see themselves in you, because there's somebody out here that listens that is you. So I really do appreciate y'all so much. I really, really do. Can you talk about the moment when you realized that you were going to be a mom, and that realization really hit you, or that you had to take on that role? What came to mind for you in that moment?
I'll go first. I don't have anything positive to say.
Oh, snap. That's everybody's sentiments. That's why we let you go first.
So I'm not even gonna hold y'all. I didn't want kids. I never thought about having kids. It was never a thing for me. Like, I have a twin sister and I have an older brother, and they both have kids. So when my twin sister got pregnant, I was like, what are you doing? What, are you sure this is the life you want to live? So, and it's that we were like 22, and just think about my life at that age, even 25. I'm like, if I would have had a kid, well, I don't know what would have happened. The kid, like, that's how crazy it was for me. So when I found out that I was pregnant with my first daughter, Ava, my response was, fuck. Literally. That was my response. And I'm like, 28, terrified. What am I going to do? So I was like, okay. So I was talking to my boyfriend. I was like, so we going to do this or not? Like, is this what we want to do? Are we going to do this? He was like, I guess we're going to do this. And then with Aubrey, I found out I was pregnant with her the day after homecoming of.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I went to North Jersey, went to Billy P, because I knew I couldn't go to the actual homecoming. So I wanted to go the night before just to hang out with a few people. And I had been drinking. And then the next morning I was like, I don't ever feel like this after drinking. Something's not right. So I was like, I had all this good time. I was like, but I didn't drink that much. I didn't really eat that much. I don't understand why I feel like this. So then day after I was like, you have to be kidding me. Then I got smacked in the face twice. So yeah, they weren't the best experiences finding out, but I love my kids. I won't say I don't love them. I appreciate them. I'm glad they're here. They've turned me into an even better person. But yeah, I don't know if I'd do it again, but these two are awesome.
Can't get on my nerves. So much. So much.
That oh shit moment hits you too. Like, especially after you drank, and you're like, oh my God. Oh shit, I just drank and I'm pregnant. Like, oh.
Right. Oh. Had no clue that I was though. I'm like, am I sure I'd have this happen? Like, I know how it happened, but how did it happen? Like, listen. For real.
Like, when did it happen? What time?
Exactly.
Like, you start planning your mind, you start thinking about times and dates, yes. And you're like, I just don't.
The problem is, I had both the same reaction for both pregnancies. I'm still trying to count back to, I don't know how these happened. So I'm like, okay. I mean, I was destined to be a mom, I guess. That's what God told me. So I'm a mom now.
Big energy. Go ahead, Jahar. You want to say something?
I was just going to say it is. It's a big oh shit moment, especially when I'll say this, especially when we're younger and we're not specifically married and you're not like planning it per se. It's one thing if couples plan to have a child, but when you don't necessarily plan it, you know, you're in love and everything, but you don't plan it, it's definitely a oh shit moment for most people. And then I know, like with my son, not only was it an oh shit moment, I got over the oh shit moment, but then unfortunately his grandmother, which is his dad's mother, passed away when I was 3 months pregnant. So then I went through this whole scenario of, you know how people say somebody close to you passes when you become pregnant. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like, I went through this whole thing of, is it my fault she died? Like weird stuff. But that, and also going through dealing with a spouse whose parent, especially mother, has passed away while you're pregnant is a whole nother beast. Like, it's literally a whole nother beast, and you really have to pray on it. And it can become a lot because you're not only carrying this child and caring for this child, but you're also helping your better half through a grieving process. So I think when I was pregnant, I went through a lot and had a lot of turmoil and trials and tribulations, which again made me strong. I didn't realize how strong I was then. So that really, like, that was my thing when I was pregnant. Not only was I pregnant, but I was dealing with this. It was a lot, like, but an oh shit moment is the first thing that happened. I did not believe it. I was in denial. I said nothing could be in my belly because it's not big. Like, And I know your belly doesn't get big overnight, but all these scenarios like go through your mind. So it's just, it was a oh shit, what's next moment. And my son, oh my God, if she hears this, she's gonna kill me. But literally my son had a sister and she's older. And when we told her, she cried, which made me even more like, oh my gosh. And you know, she's from a previous relationship. That's my stepdaughter to the day I die, regardless. But it was literally like, you know, it was just like a oh shit moment again. Like, oh my God, like how do I balance this out where she doesn't feel some type of way? And it was a lot. Like pregnancy is a lot, and there's so many unexpected things around you that occur while you're pregnant. So you're not only dealing with the pregnancy itself, but you're dealing with all these outside things that happen while you're pregnant. So, you know, being a mom does not start when that baby pops out of your pom-pom, but being a mom starts basically like when you become pregnant and when you announce it that you are pregnant. Like that's when you ultimately become a mom, because that's when you ultimately start deciding things, not only for yourself, but for someone else. Like it's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy feeling.
Any other ladies? Go ahead, Connie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if motherhood has still hit me. Like I still have moments where I'm like, wait, I'm somebody's mama. Like, and Kennedy's about to be 9. So I was still like, wait, I'm responsible for her. So I don't know. I mean, I was young when I had Kenny. I was 23. So I was shocked. It wasn't planned, but I don't know. My pregnancy was great. I had a really good pregnancy with her. So that was fine. But just the whole going through being a mom or realization of it, I'm just still like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm somebody's mama. It's still weird. And, you know, you just kind of adjust. You put your big girl panties on and you just do what you got to do. But I still have moments where I'm like, oh, okay, I'm responsible for you. And I have to teach you to do what? Oh, I got to teach you how to do this too? Oh, wait, you don't know how to do that. Like, more so that type of stuff where it's like, oh, I got to teach you how to wipe your ass the right way, or, you know, how to wash your body the right way and stuff like that. So like, I'm still having those aha moments of like, oh yeah, like you're fully responsible for a whole nother human being. So yeah.
And washing ass and wiping it is fundamental. Lori, you shaking your head. Is that a problem? Are you going through, they not wiping their butt properly? What happened, girl?
We were literally just having comments, because the thing about it is like they're 7 and 9, so you assume like you guys can have more independence now. You can take your bath and I can trust that you'll take your bath right or wipe your ass. And it's like, no, nope, y'all still need people in here telling you like that's not clean. Nope, you gotta do it again. Like you think they can have the independence, but it's like, no, y'all still babies just in bigger bodies. But I was gonna say, I feel the same as Connie. I feel like because of how I came into motherhood, I was in survival mode. You know, I was just doing what I knew needed to be done. I was, you know, just taking care of the kids, making sure they were in school, even though I was grieving, you know. So I feel like now I'm kind of coming down from that of just constantly moving, and thinking like, okay, I really got a plan for this. Like, I really got a plan. Like, where do I want to live next? You know, what I want their education to be like all those responsibilities. Like, okay, I'm in charge of all of this. And I feel like that's me coming into the realization, like, okay, this shit is really on me to be a whole mother.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot. No, I'm really, y'all got me over here thinking like, damn, okay. Things to take note of. Go ahead, Cam.
I want to chime in about the properly wiping themselves scenario. I'm glad you guys are saying this because my daughter is 5 and I feel like she should have it down by now.
Yeah,
and she doesn't.
You got a long way to go at 5, right?
Just
You got a long way to go of spreading the butt cheek and making sure that it's not doo-doo crumbles in the
middle. Oh, my God.
And when they smell like doo-doo, you got to go back and you be like, I thought you right.
Exactly. Oh, man. I'll be like, aren't you supposed to have this by now? What is the problem? Why do your panties look like this? And it's just a whole big thing. So you guys are reassuring me that, okay, I need to show her more grace. Because oh,
for real, I think it's just the laziness. It's
yes,
the laziness.
Definitely.
Yes.
It's a lot of work for them to like get a clean ass. So you just be like, forget it.
Exactly.
You got a good 5 years to go before she.
Oh God! Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
And beware the wet wipes. The ones that go in the back of your toilet, because mm-hmm. they're great, and the kids will clean they ass right. real good.
Right.
However, they're gonna use 100 of them, and you're gonna be like, "Why is my toilet stopped up?"
Right? It happened last week. She said she had it, and I said, "Okay, great." And then I'm like, "She's like, Mommy, the toilet's not flushing. What did you put in it?" And I'm like, "You used all the wipes." So yes.
Yep, the whole pack.
Okay, so it's gonna get worse, is what you're telling me, before it gets better. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm hysterical. I'm away. I gotta calm down. I gotta see the questions. Y'all got me cracking up and screaming over here. Okay, listen, if you are thinking of being a mom, I hope you're listening real, real clear. Some things are not gonna fix themselves for 10 years, y'all. Goddamn. Okay. I still want to do this. All right, y'all. So that is the end of part one of The Millennial Moms. Happy Mother's Day to my guests, Lori, Connie, Cam, Jay. Thank you, friends, so much for coming onto my podcast and for making the last two episodes of season two magical. I love y'all and I appreciate y'all. And also happy Mother's Day to everyone else out there. Happy Mother's Day to my mama, to my grandmama, to my nana up in heaven, to all my aunties, to all my other friends who are mommies. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. To my day ones, you already know. This isn't goodbye. I'll be back shortly. I'll be back sometime next month in June. So thank you all for tuning in with me and holding it down. Share this episode, please. And let them know that there's a part two. Okay? Follow me on Instagram if they didn't tell you. The podcast and apparel page. Okay? Website, www.theydidn'ttellyou.com. And if you want to follow me on my personal page, it's at Legally Black. I'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye.